It is now 9:09 a.m. on Monday, April 26, 2021. And I am Victoria Bowman, Chairman of the State Board of Massage Therapy, and the meeting is now called to order. The Chair of the Arizona State Board of Massage reserves the right to change the order of items published on this agenda, except for public hearings set for a specific time. During the board meeting and upon a vote of the majority of a quorum, the board may go into executive session to obtain legal advice from the board's attorney pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute ARS 38-431.03A3 on any items listed on the agenda. All meeting attendees whose presence is not required in an executive session may remain in the board meeting room when the board withdraws to chambers for an executive session. Any and all legal action by board members will only take place in open session. In accordance with the open meeting law, the board has a civility policy that prohibits any type of disorderly conduct that disrupts the board from carrying out its business. Individuals found violating this policy will be asked to modify their behavior. And act civilly. And if the disorderly conduct continues, the person may be removed from the meeting. Ms. Cisneros, will you please take a roll call vote of board members?
Absolutely. Thank you. Madam Chair?
Present.
Madam Vice Chair?
Present.
Mr. McLean?
Present.
Mr. Ortega?
Present.
And Mr. Ramsey?
Present.
Thank you. For the record, Mr. Ortega is here. I think the audio may have cut out when he was making that announcement. Madam Chair, we do have a full board today. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm having some audio problems, so I may have to go back to my phone. At this time, I do wish to thank board staff, Mr. White, Mr. Wilcox, Ms. Rich, Mr. Augerton, as well as Ms. Cisneros, and Mr. Monahan, our legal counsel from the AG's office. Thank you so much for being here today. I would now like to ask if there is any conflict of interest with any board members on the cases that we have before us today. Okay, having heard none, we will move on. Review, discussion, and possible action on board meeting minutes. Is there any discussion and or approval of the board meeting minutes of March 29th, 2021?
Madam Chair, Emily Clark, I wish to make a motion that we approve the minutes from the board meeting on March 29th, 2021.
Kevin Ramsey, I'll second.
Ms. Cisneros, will you take a roll call vote?
Absolutely. Thank you. Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. The motion passes unanimously.
I'm going to take a very quick moment and get on the line via my phone. So let's give me just a moment for that. Oops.
Okay, Mr. Wilcox. Let me get my volume. Okay. Am I coming through loud and clear, Mr. Wilcox?
I hear you good,
okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes, thank you. Okay. Items for board review, discussion, and possible action. Upon a vote of the majority of a quorum, the board may go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A2 to discuss or consider records exempt by law from public inspection, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is specifically required to be maintained as confidential by state or federal law. We will move to 5C, investigative review. Let us begin with case 20-100, Jean Lang Liu. Ms. Cisneros, will you give us an overview on this case, please?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. Thank you. Before I begin, would you like to ask to see if the parties are on the call?
Yes, thank you. Is Ms. Liu on the call? Okay, hearing none. And then, actually, this case is regarding the Tucson Police Department. So I don't believe that we don't have a complainant in that regard. So this is an old matter that we need to finish up. So could you go ahead and read the complaint summary, please?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. The board received notification from the Tucson Police Department indicating that the respondent was arrested on August 28, 2018 for one count of business slash no massage license and one count of business-employed unlicensed therapist. On October 28, 2018, respondent was found guilty of the charge for business-no massage license. On April 18, 2019, respondent was arrested for one count of prostitution-offer to prostitute, and the court set a date for trial on June 6, 2019. Respondent failed to notify the board of the 2018 arrest and conviction and the 2019 arrest within 10 days of each occurrence as required by Arizona statute. According to a case summary from the City of Tucson City Court, the 2019 charge was ultimately dismissed in November 2020 after completion of diversion. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Monahan, I think I would like to ask you a question. Since we have neither party on the line, and this is something we're cleaning up, would you suggest how we go about this?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. Board members, thank you. This is Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General. It's my understanding, I was not the attorney at the time, but it's my understanding that you voted to offer a consent agreement, and then if not accepted, you were going to move it to formal hearing. Somehow that got lost in translation. Never happened. So you have all the options available to you. You have the report. You can move this matter to a formal hearing from here based on your prior motion. You can also, now that this matter has been resolved, you can offer a consent agreement for voluntary surrender in lieu of formal hearing, and if not signed, move it to formal hearing after that.
Ms. Chair Bowman?
Yeah.
And Mr. Monahan, looking at the paperwork that we have, it shows that her license expired in August of last year. Would that actually be necessary for us to do that at this time?
Thank you for that question. It's a great question. This is Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General. So while you still retain jurisdiction over the prior licensee because they were noticed before their license expired, you can take action or you can take no action and direct staff to, put a note in the file regarding the prior charges. What you know, why you would want to consider moving forward is just so that if this individual ever comes back and tries to reapply, you have a little more teeth.
Gotcha. Thank you so much.
So, Mr. Monahan, this is Board Chair Bowman. So I'm hearing that we could offer a consent agreement to surrender license, and if not, move to formal hearing. If we have no response, then this could be a deem. Is that correct?
Yes, Madam Chair. Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General. If she does not respond, it would end up in a motion to deem.
Okay. So I will move that we offer a consent agreement to MT 23985 Jin Lan Lu to surrender her license. And if that is not done, then it would go to a formal hearing, in which case, if she did not show, we could then revoke the license. Do we need to have findings and facts and conclusions of law in this order?
Yes, you would, Madam Chair, as well as a date certain for signing that agreement.
Okay. Do we typically give 20 days to sign?
Andrew could answer that, but I believe it is
20 days is a standard, unless we go outside that rule. But 20 days is usually the amount for a surrender signing, a consent agree signing.
Okay.
And Mr. Nick is raising his hand for you.
Yes, Mr. McLean.
What about if we just took it to moved it to a formal hearing now? She is expired. She isn't participating in any of the actions that are taking place. Instead of wasting another month on sending the agreement, set it up for the formal hearing now, and then we can take whatever action we feel is justified.
We've done that before, and what we found is since there's been no response from the person, if we give them an opportunity to surrender their license and they don't, it would automatically go to a formal hearing, and then we can deem, and the matter is completed and it's on her record. Ms. Cisneros, would you like to give further explanation?
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you. This is Andrea. I just wanted to ask the Assistant Attorney General for some clarification. If the board were to vote to refer this matter directly to formal hearing without offering a consent agreement, after the complaint and notice of hearing has been generated and issued to the respondent, if they do reach out, is there a potential for a settlement agreement to be reached to voluntary surrender in lieu of the formal hearing, even if the board doesn't offer a consent at this time?
That's a great question, and yes, absolutely. The board could always direct me that if I do have contact with the respondent to negotiate a consent for voluntary surrender.
And that would pretty much cover both bases. You're still referring the matter now instead of delaying it with that 20 days trying to get her to sign, and then you would still have the option if she wishes to surrender voluntarily in the interim.
Yes.
So then a motion might be to send it to formal hearing with counsel being allowed to offer a consent agreement for surrender should she reach out.
Yes. And if the board chooses to do that, you would want to cite to your statutes, if you want to move it straight to a formal hearing from here, you want to cite 32-4254, Section G. Pursuant to the board's authority under Section G, you can move it straight to formal hearing based on the factual allegations and potential violations of law as they are in the board's packet.
What is that number again, please?
It's 3254G.
32-4254G.
32-4254G.
Okay. Okay, so I will withdraw my previous motion we were working on, and I will move that in the case of Jin Lan Lu, license MT23985, that we send it to formal hearing based on 32-4254G. If she should reach out to the board, then we instruct counsel to offer a consent agreement to surrender license. And that's it. Is there anything else I need to put in that, Mr. Monahan?
Just that the motion is based on the factual allegations and potential violations of law as they are in the board's packet.
Andrea, did you get that? Let that be added to the motion.
I sure did.
Yes. Okay.
One more quick clarification. The resolution that the board is wanting to seek at formal hearing would be revocation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
I'll second Chairman's motion.
Thank you. Ms. Cisneros, when you have a moment, I know you're writing that down, would you please read the motion back and then take a roll call vote?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. The motion is to refer this matter to formal hearing for license revocation. That is based on ARS 32-4254G and based on the potential violations of law and factual allegations as set forth in the board's packet. If the respondent does come into contact with the state's attorney, she can voluntarily surrender her license in lieu of formal hearing. And then I have Madam Chair and Mr. McLean as the motion and seconder. Roll call vote, Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
The motion passes unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's move now to case 21-112, Anthony Michael Cavender. Is Mr. Cavender on the call?
Mr. Cavender has not responded on anything. He hasn't responded to my emails or the mail information I've sent to him, and none of the information was returned to this office, so he received it.
Okay.
He was in jail for 7 months, and he's been out for two now.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. White. And in this case, he was, well, Ms. Cisneros, would you read the complaint summary, please?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. The board was notified by the Maricopa County Superior Court that respondent was arrested on January 29th, 2020 for one count of sexual assault. On June 18th, 2020, respondent pled guilty and was convicted of attempted sexual assault, a class 3 felony. And on August 10th, 2020, respondent was ordered to serve jail time. Respondent failed to report the arrest and conviction to the board within 10 days of the occurrence pursuant to Arizona statute. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, obviously, someone that is jailed for rape and admitted to it does not, his license actually expired on 3/22 of this year, so it is not an active license. However, I think it's important that we go about in some way, again, revoking the license. Any suggestions from board members?
I would recommend we do the same with the other one. Move it to the formal hearing for if that way we end up going in lieu of the agreement for them to surrender it should they even make contact with us.
Okay. Mr. Monahan, I do have a question. If we offer a consent agreement, is it easier to deem if they make no response, or if we go to formal hearing and we hear nothing from them, can we deem the case?
Madam Chair, again, yes. So under the board's statutes and rules, if a respondent does not respond to the complaint notice of hearing within 30 days, the board then has the authority to deem the allegations in the complaint notice of hearing as their findings of fact and conclusions of law, and you can revoke the license that way. And in the interim, I could always, Andrew already has a consent for voluntary surrender that was sent to this individual. However, he was in prison at the time and couldn't get it. So we could always resend that while we're preparing for the formal hearing.
Okay, thank you. Is there a motion?
And real quickly, again, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. If we're going to move this straight to formal hearing again under, just make sure we cite 4254G. And then I did want to add one unprofessional conduct charge that wasn't in there. And that would be 32, 42, 53, 15. I'm sorry, not 15. 4, being convicted of a felony or other offense involving moral turpitude or any conviction for prostitution, solicitation, or other similar offense.
And then, Mr. McLean, can you confirm whether or not that was a motion that you were making, or was that just a suggestion?
Well, it was a suggestion, but I'll go ahead and make it a motion that in the case of Anthony Michael Cavender, massage license MT22696, that we move to a formal hearing in accordance with 3242-54G, and that in the interim, that a second agreement be sent to him to see if he'll reply in order to see if he will voluntarily surrender his license.
And then will that be based on potential? I'm sorry.
Based on the stuff that Mr. Monahan was in there for us. So, you need to send us a little cheat card that we can use for that, Mr. Monahan.
I will. I'll send you a script.
That is based on the potential violations of law and the factual allegations as set forth in the board's packet, in addition to 32-4253-4.
Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Emily Clark, I'll second that.
Thank you. Okay. So, Ms. Cisneros, when you have that pulled together, if you would read the motion for us and then take a roll call vote.
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. The motion is to refer this matter to formal hearing for license revocation. In the interim, if there is contact with the respondent, the board is willing to accept a settlement of voluntary surrender in lieu of formal hearing. The referral is based on 32-4254G and based on the potential violations of law and the factual allegations set forth in the board's packet, while adding an additional unprofessional conduct charge of 32-4253 subsection 4. Roll call vote, Mr. Ramsey.
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes unanimous.
Thank you. Let's go now to case 21-130, Mark Heward. Is Mr. Heward on the line?
I am here.
Thank you. And then by chance, is WW on the line?
Yes.
Thank you. Do either of you, Mark, Mr. Heward, and WW, do either of you, are you represented by attorneys today?
Not at this point.
Okay. No.
Thank you. Okay, Ms. Cisneros, would you please read the complaint summary?
Absolutely, thank you. Madam Chair, before I begin, I just want to ask the parties if you don't mind leaving your mic muted until the board calls upon you, and if there is something that you would like to add, please raise your hand, and that way we know that you're trying to add something to this discussion. Board members and Madam Chair, the board received a complaint from WW regarding a massage trade between herself and the respondent, both of which hold active massage therapy licenses. WW alleged that she received a massage from the respondent on September 7th, 2020. She stated that she asked for pectoral work, but the respondent massaged all around her breasts, including the sides and under portion and down the torso under the sheet, which made her very uncomfortable, and she was holding the sheet so it wouldn't move. WW alleged that the respondent also made inappropriate comments during the massage. She stated that she had told the respondent 2 days before the massage that she was not comfortable getting a massage from him if he could not be professional, which he promised to do. And WW stated that she felt that he waited for her to let her guard down and was fully relaxed to cross that professional line. WW did not render her end of the massage trade due to her negative feelings from her massage. WW stated that after the massage, she felt depressed and violated and provided copies of text message exchanges between herself and the respondent that have been included in the board's packet for review. The board did consider this matter at its previous meeting and voted to continue the investigative review in order to obtain clear copies of those text messages between the parties and to ask that the licensee appear before the board today. That concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Heward, would you like to communicate to us your side of this situation?
Absolutely. Okay, I've been a massage therapist since 2010. This is the very first time I've ever been accused of this. It was a trade to adults. I gave my end of the trade. She was very much in control of the draping, very much. If any breast would have been touched at all in this massage, it was when I had the arm all the way up and the breast had fallen to the side, and as I was going down on the side of the arm, or side of the arm slash lats down there. But otherwise, this person was not touched. I will also state that in these, in the conversations that she's talking about, again, two grown adults doing a trade can have conversation. We did discuss, and she may show, I don't know, I have not made copies of those text messages, but she would also, you know, if she's being honest, she can also say that we did discuss potentially going on a date. I had been divorced. She knew that. I was considering going on a date. We considered going to a hot tub. We considered, and that, by the way, was brought up by her. I would have never known that she had a hot tub at her own house. You know, ultimately, she's not my type. I wouldn't have gone out with her. But again, I've been divorced. I was just looking to go on a date. But at the same time, I did give a very professional massage. I am very professional at my massage. I do a great job. During that massage, and or after, either way, there was discussion where she did tell me that that when she gives a massage, and she's very into it, she can step outside of her body, stand in the corner, and watch herself give a massage. Now, I'm sorry, but I know that to be impossible. That is impossible. Nobody can do that. Okay, maybe Jesus Christ, but that's it. But the fact is, I'm literally like, I don't belong here right now. This meeting, the fact that I've been accused of this is wrong. Again, I gave my end of a trade. She never gave me her end of the trade. She never gave me any money. I never gave her any money. It is what it is. Two adults gave each other a trade. She was very in control of the draping. And that's the end of discussion, literally. There was nothing that happened. And if she says that I touched her, that's her opinion. But I'm telling you right now, there was no touching. I gave her a very well and appropriate massage. She knows it. And because I can do some other things that maybe she can't, I don't know. But either way, I'm telling you right now, I did not touch her inappropriately at all. That's all I have to say at this time.
Thank you. Are there any board members that would like to question Mr. Howard?
It's Heward, ma'am. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Heward. Excuse me. Yes. Are there any board members that would like to question Mr. Heward?
Sir, how many times before this have you interlinked or crossed over with the professionalism of massage with your personal life?
I don't.
Well, you did this time. So how many times before?
I went into a trade with another adult who agreed to it in a conversation. I don't know what she has on her text. I could download mine as well, too. I just haven't done it because I know for a fact I didn't touch this girl.
Okay.
So you know, I mean, I touched her, but in an appropriate way. I did everything right. It was a good massage, and she draped herself and was very adamant about it.
Okay. So I didn't ask
Mr.
you any
Heward,
of that. I'm asking
I'm sorry,
you
Mr. McLean. My apologies for interrupting. Because we're recording this meeting and to make it a very clear record, if we can ask that you hold off answering until the board member is done answering his question, if we can go one at a time, that would make this much smoother. Thank you both.
Okay.
Sorry for interrupting.
Okay, so you had mentioned that you did talk about personal stuff, possibly going on a date. So to me, that's a cross of personal time and professional time. I'm asking you, prior to this incident, have you done that before?
Are you asking me if I've ever done a trade before?
No, sir.
Okay, then be more specific of what you're asking me.
You mentioned in your feedback right now that discussions of possibly dating, going to the hot tub, and other such items had been a topic of discussion. To me, that's something that is held into your personal life versus your professional massage life. I'm asking, have you had those interactions with other women prior to this event?
Well, first of all, if I've ever had personal discussions with other women prior to this event, that's my business. It has nothing to do with my massage license. And yes, I've talked to women. I have you. I mean, think about it. Everybody talks to the opposite sex if they're going to date. But in this in particular case, there was it. Okay, first of all, what's going on is the business itself is being brought into two grown adults doing a trade. The only thing that there has been at jeopardy of this is that we used a professional setting. We went to her office. That's the only thing that's been in question of that. Because I'm telling you right now, she can say what she wants to say. I can say what I want to say. But there's a truth. And whether that truth is being upheld here today, that's fine. But God knows, and I know. And I know that for a fact that when she was very adamant about her draping, I abided by that 100%. And I did not catch her off guard or whatever. Okay? It is what it is, and that's what it was. I gave a trade. I did a great job. It was professional. That's all I have to say on that.
Thank you. Are there other board members that would like to question Mr. Heward?
Yes. Board Member Clark. Mr. Heward.
Yes,
it's
ma'am.
It has been my experience that whenever two consenting adults consent to a trade, there's usually no discussion about anything personal as far as who wants to date who or date the other person within that session. So you're saying that you've talked to other women, that's fine, and that there was some discussion about possibly dating this young lady that you were doing the trade with. That, in my opinion, should have been something that could have taken place outside the session. The other thing that I had to ask you was that you mentioned that she was in control of the draping. Should that not have been your job to be in control of the draping to make sure that nothing fell to the side when you moved an arm? Or the draping should have been secured no matter what? It should have been your responsibility, not hers? Because if it has to be hers, then it would appear to me that she was concerned about something coming from you. Whereas if you had been in control of the draping and the draping was very secure, she might not have had any feelings of discomfort or concern regarding the massage.
I can understand where you're coming from, but again, it is ultimately the therapist's responsibility, but she took it into her hands and draped herself and tucked tight this, that, whatever. I didn't have to do it. And of course on the legs and stuff, she did help a little bit, but no matter what, I still was in on that and I did it appropriately. But when you say that two people, that it's to your knowledge that two people should not do that, well, can you prove that there's never been a discussion in a trade between two adults, that there's never been dating going, never talked about a date ever in the history of massage? No, that's impossible to prove that. So people are human. People did what they did. I did what I did. She did what she did. She was part of it. It wasn't just me in that room. She discussed in that conversation as well as I did. And, so it is what it is. What this is this is somebody who has some sort of vendetta against me because of something I may or may not have done. But I'm telling you right now, I gave a professional massage. I did nothing inappropriate. I'm 100% going to stand by that. That's the truth. Again, I'm licensed for 11 years, worked on a lot of people. This is the very first time that I've ever had an accusation like this. And to be crazily, it's by another therapist, one that can, by the way, that can leave her body and stand in the corner of the room and watch herself massage. Okay. I mean, come on. You guys, you need to understand that when somebody's license is put on the line, okay, and I'm a very good therapist, I challenge each and every one of you to come and see me. Let me work on you. Let me show you what I do. But the fact is, when my license is being put on the line for an accusation from another therapist who may or may not have liked my work, hey, it's irritating. If any of you were in my boat, you'd be a little frustrated too. And by the way, just so that it's on the record, the last meeting, I would have been there. I'm a responsible person. I would have been at the last meeting. I didn't realize that I was allowed to be at the meeting and I missed the email. I do a lot of things. I'm self-employed. I have other businesses as well as this. But the fact is that I'm self-employed and I'm busy. And, I referee high school sports. I have an estate sale company. I mean, I'm busy. I do a lot of things. But, the fact is, I didn't catch that email, or I would have been at the last meeting to defend myself. I was under the interpretation from what I read that the meetings would happen and then they would get back to me. And at that point, if it needed to go to further like court, like you guys are talking about with the other people, then at that point, that is when I would be asked to show. So that was just out of my control, because I just didn't see the email. I didn't understand that I could be there. If I could have been there, I would have been there on the first meeting. We could have already had this discussed. But I just want that to be on the record that I would have been there. That was my fault. I missed it. I didn't understand it. I personally don't like coming before boards. I don't like going to court. I've been in court. I had a divorce. I lost everything. The courts of Arizona, they allowed my ex-wife.
Okay, Mr. Heward, that isn't pertinent to this case. So thank you. Let's not go there.
Okay, I'll go to mute.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Are there any other board members that have questions of Mr. Heward? Okay. Ms. WW, do you have any comments?
First of all, when he mentioned that I draped myself, I don't see how that's plausible because I can't reach around with my right arm, drape underneath the left, and then do the same the other way and it not come loose. So that's impossible. So there's that point. Secondly, it is the therapist's responsibility to make sure the client is totally draped appropriately. That's their job. Thirdly, there was no discussion of a date. Fourthly, the only reason the hot tub came up was because we were talking about self-care outside of massage and what we do for ourselves for self-care. And I had mentioned that I get in the hot tub every day, if not every other day, because of the amount of work that I do. And I don't, at this point, I don't see living without it. That's how that came up. But because the conversation got more provocative than what I was comfortable with, that is why I sent the text letting him know that I wasn't comfortable getting the massage if he couldn't be professional. And it didn't just stop at the draping. You know, as I told you in the last meeting, he offered to, quote unquote, go deeper if I wanted a more personal massage. And mentioned that that would mean that he would go inside of me. And he offered that two or three times, and each time I said no. So it wasn't just the draping around the breasts. There was that portion of it as well. And to me, whether we talked about going on a date or not, the fact that I mentioned that it needed to be professional and the fact that he didn't drape me appropriately around the chest and he did go underneath the sheets and down the front of my torso and around, not on the breast near the nipples, but around the breast. The fact that he did do that and the fact that he offered those other services is completely unprofessional. I have no reason to lie. I've been a massage therapist for 10 years myself. He even mentioned in the outtake after the session that him and another friend of his offer those services for women and they appreciate it. In fact, they book with them just for that because they're quote unquote lonely. And my, you know, I just don't want this happening to another woman, whether she thinks she wants it at the time or not, or whether there are women that are out there that are okay with getting those services from a male therapist. It's not supposed to be part of our profession. We've spent 2,000 years trying to get past all that. And I don't think whether or not I can astral project or not has anything to do with my credibility as far as this complaint is concerned. And that's the end of my statement.
Okay. Ms. Clark, you have a question for WW?
WW, if you had any concerns during the course of the texting prior to the massage, why did you not just reschedule or cancel the massage trade altogether?
Because he assured me he would be professional, and then I reached out to the other therapist that referred him to me, and she promised me that he was professional during her session. And so I felt that was enough to move forward because she's been a therapist for 15 years. She's the one that researched him and went on the massage board website and looked up his reviews. And she's the one that got a massage from him first. So, and I've known her for over 5 years. She and I have worked together in the same office
for over 5 years. And so, you know, I'm more of a trusting and friendly type of person, and I'm going to give somebody trust before not. So if he says he's going to be professional and she told me he was completely professional with her, then that gave me enough leverage to move forward with it.
Okay. One more question. If when in the session, in the process of the session, if you had concerns or seemed to be a little uncomfortable, why would you not have stopped the massage? You're a massage therapist, and all massage therapists have that right, regardless of which side of the table they're on, whether they're on the table or they're in the process of giving.
Absolutely. Every person, not just every massage therapist, absolutely has that right. In fact, I've advocated for some of my clients that have mentioned they received the same thing. And I've told them, you know, you feel uncomfortable on the table, you should absolutely say something. And I never understood why they wouldn't until you're actually on the table. It was a 2-hour trade. The first 90 minutes of it was totally and completely professional. My guard was down. I'd already surrendered to the massage. And so it, you know, my fight or flight was not engaged. So I didn't, and the reactions didn't hit me until the next day when I went to go get another 2-hour massage from a gal that I trade with. And during the massage, the emotions came out and I just started crying, and I was trying to figure out why they were coming out, what happened, and she and I talked through it. So, I mean, yes, I understand your point, but when you're on the table and you've already surrendered to the massage and you've already decided to trust this person, it's totally different.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. W., this is Board Chair Bowman. In the complaint summary, it says that you stated that Heward massaged you while you were prone, and it was effleurage on the breasts and side of the breasts, and also down the torso under the sheet. Can you explain how he could massage your breasts when you're prone?
No, it wasn't prone. It was supine when I was face up. I apologize if I use the wrong terminology.
Okay, thank you. Are there other board members that have questions for WW?
Mr. Heward, you will get a chance to speak when the board is done with speaking with WW. If you could just hang on just a moment.
Okay, since there are no more questions, Mr. Heward, do you have a final comment?
Yes, I would like to say something. If you listened to that testimony, you can hear all kinds of stuff that's wrong. But you had to listen. I'm telling you, just like that other board member, your assistant, I'm looking at the president, I'm assuming right now, but just like your assistant had said, she asked her some questions and her answers were very, very just all over the place. Okay. I'm telling you right now, if this woman was so uncomfortable with me, she should have got up off the table and asked me to leave. She didn't. I did the whole massage. We then talked in her office for over a half an hour. This right here has been false accusations. If you guys can't hear that, then I can't help you. But I'm telling you right now, you take my license, you're taking away a good therapist, and a person who literally has given so much help to so many people, and there's still people that I haven't even worked on.
They need my work. And I'm telling you right now, I did a great job. She knows it. And by the way, I want to make one other point. This woman, okay, she said she went and jumped right into another massage the next day, this and that. But just so you know, the massage that happened, it happened a long time ago. These accusations, if they were so real and so true and so traumatizing, they should have been brought to the board long time ago. But instead, this has been a long, long time ago. There are so many things that you guys, you have to be able to hear it. It's evident. It's right there before you. I'm telling you right now, I gave a professional massage. And if you can't hear it, I can't help you. But I'm, you know, earlier in the thing, you said raise our hand. I've been raising my hand. I'm happy that you let me at least address that. But the fact is, there's nothing else I can say. It was right there, right before your eyes. You got to witness it. So it's got to be your call. Thank you for letting me talk.
Thank you, Mr. Heward. Okay. Yes, Ms. Cisneros.
My apologies for interrupting. I just wanted to take a step back to the statement that you, or the question that you had for the complainant about the position that she was in, according to her summary to the board. I did go ahead and pull that up, and she does say that after she was flipped over, after having work done on her backside, that's when she had asked for the pictorial work, and she was getting massage from that end. I just wanted to point that out, because I know that you had said that the summary said that she was in the prone position, but I don't see that here. I just wanted to make that clear for the record. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so now it is time for board discussion. Would anyone like to start the discussion?
Mr. Ranson, would you like to go? He's raising his hand, so I want to give him a chance to speak.
Go ahead, John. Unmute.
Thank you. I find WW's testimony totally credible, and I see no reason this shouldn't be taken to a formal interview. That's my thoughts on it.
I agree, Mr. Ortega. You know, I find that the biggest thing here is acting on professional and ethical standards. You know, it seems pretty blatant to me. You know, hearing both sides of the story now, so I would agree that we can move this to a formal interview.
And is that a motion, Mr. Ramsey?
It's just a suggestion at this point. I'm still open to discussion.
Right, we're in the communication stage, so I've not called for a motion. We're in deliberations. Okay, Ms. Clark.
I find complainant's testimony credible. I'd still probably be able to come up with a couple more questions on either side for each party. I think a formal interview would be appropriate at this time to get a little bit more in depth. I'm in agreement with Mr. Ortega and Mr. Ramsey on that.
Mr. McLean?
Yeah, formal hearing's fine.
We're not talking formal hearing, we're talking formal interview.
My apologies, formal interview. Okay. I would say that it needs to be something that that we adhere to whatever the questioning takes place, you know, fact-based and leave it at that versus any long run-on mentions of any other events.
Thank you. Okay, so I think I'm going to be a lone voice of saying that I'm hearing a lot of he said, she said. It is bothersome to me that two massage therapists have not handled themselves in a better way. So I'm fine with going to a formal interview. I still think there's a lot of he said, she said, and I'm really unsure as to who to believe. So I would really like to know at what time was the summary of allegations written. I don't know that we have that information, because this took place on September 2nd, and it wasn't filed until January 12th. So that's 4 months later, and that kind of bothers me. The thing is that, well, I'll leave that for a further discussion. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we take this case to case number 21-130 to a formal interview.
Is there a second?
Kevin Ramsey, I'll second.
And Madam Vice Chair, is that based on the potential violations of law and the factual allegations as set forth in the investigative report?
You are so good, Ms. Cisneros. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Just stand in front of the mirror and practice. You know.
Excuse me, I just...
I'm sorry. You do need to mute yourself. We're not at a point.
I understand, but I had a phone call that turned me off. I couldn't hear the last things that were said.
Okay.
I would like to,
it will be repeated.
Okay.
It will be repeated. Thank you, Mr. Heward. Okay, so we have a motion. Ms. Cisneros, will you read the motion, please?
Absolutely. The motion is to proceed to formal interview in this matter, and that is based on the potential violations of law and the factual allegations as set forth in the investigative report. Roll call vote, Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
No.
Thank you. The motion still passes.
Thank you. Okay, so you will be notified of further information and when a formal interview will take place. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you have any questions, please get in touch with board staff. Thank you. Let's move on to case 21-132. Martin Espuma.
Can we leave the call?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, you may.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Stewart. And Andrew, have we had contact with Mr. Espuma yet?
Yes. First of all, the complaint is here. I talked to Mr. Espuma on my own personal time on Saturday to tell him that we had this board meeting. I called him at his house. He responded, and he said he would be here, and he has been checked in as of right now.
I don't think he's coming.
Are you here?
Okay. Is Mr. Espuma on the line?
Yeah, he's there.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. And is the complainant KO on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Okay, Mrs. Narrows, would you please read the complaint?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. The board received a complaint from KO, who presented for a spa treatment at Massage Lux on January 10th and received a massage from the respondent. KO alleged that during the course of the massage therapy session, the respondent was rubbing her inner thigh close to her labia, and after a few minutes of rubbing that area, he inserted his fingers into her vagina and continued rubbing slash massaging inside of her vagina. KO stated that she was confused and thought it may have been an accident. She stated that respondent removed his fingers and continued rubbing her legs, and a few minutes later, placed his fingers inside of her vagina and started rubbing again. KO stated that she froze, and after what seemed to be about 30 seconds, respondent stopped, finished the massage by rubbing her lower legs and feet, and the following day, KO reported the incident to management as well as the Chandler Police Department. The board also received a complaint from management reporting that KO had informed them of the incident and that their sexual misconduct procedures had been followed for the allegation. Respondent was terminated from employment effective January 30th. I just want to remind the parties, if you can please mute yourselves until the board calls upon you, we would appreciate it. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So, Ms. K.O., is there anything that you wish to add to this at this time?
At this time, no. The only other piece of information I would give is that after speaking with the owners of Massage Lux, they kind of looked back on the records and they found that a few months prior to my allegation, there was another female who reported, I don't know the exact kind of misconduct, but they had reported misconduct to them, but she was unwilling to follow through with a formal statement or a report to you guys. And that had been notated in his file, but they didn't proceed with any disciplinary action based on the fact that they would not formally make a complaint.
Yes, we do have.
The owner of Massage Lux was the person who gave me that information.
Right, we do have that information in our packet. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Espuma, would you like to respond to the allegations?
Not really. I know of them. I already gave my statement and pretty much have no comment.
Okay. Thank you. So, I think at this point, we can start a discussion of board members, and let's.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'm sorry for interrupting. Did you want to open the floor for board members to ask either party questions?
The reason I haven't done that, and I think I better ask Mr. Monahan, is both of them have basically said that's all I have to say. I believe we have reason to move this to a formal hearing based on the findings of facts and the allegations as set forth in the board packet. So, Mr. Monahan, should I open it up for the board to ask questions of either the complainant or the respondent?
Madam Chair, this is Seamus Monahan, other board members. Yeah, that would be absolutely appropriate. You know, they can choose to answer the questions or not because we are at the investigative review stage. So, you know, I think you've already made a decision as to, you know, how you feel about it. But if any of the other board members do have questions, they can at least volley them and see if they get a return.
Okay. So if Ms. K.O. would unmute yourself. Are there any board members that have questions of her?
I'd just like to say I'm not opposed to answering any questions. I was just saying there was nothing of significance for me to add to the discussion at that point.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. You can mute yourself. Mr. Espuma, if you would unmute yourself. Are there any board members that would like to ask a question of Mr. Espuma at this point? Okay. So you may mute yourself again.
Madam Chair, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. I think based on the comments that you were making, just to guide you a little bit, I think what you were going to do was something maybe like you did in the first two matters, maybe a motion to that effect if you do feel that you want to move it straight to a formal hearing based on 4254G.
Right. Thank you. So I think I would like to open this up for discussion of the board. For me, we have not only the complaint by KO, but we do have a report that was not submitted to the board from the November of 16. And not knowing exactly if the owners of that facility are LMTs, I do need to remind all of us that are licensed massage therapists that according to 32-4256, that we have a responsibility to report inappropriate action to the board if and when we know it's going on. So that's a side note, but we do have two cases here. I'm inclined to want to send this to formal hearing and offer, should Mr. Espuma reach out, offer a consent agreement to surrender the license based on 32-4254G, which is unprofessional conduct as shown in the factual allegations as set forth in our board packet and the violations of the conclusions of law. Are there other comments?
Seamus, you're muted.
Thank you. I was just trying to yell at my computer. Madam Chair, could we also add to this one the 4253A15, sexual activity with clients?
Yes, thank you.
And does the board agree with 4253A15 being added?
Right, I certainly do. Could we have a discussion? That was not a motion, that was a suggestion. Mr. Ortega, would you like to weigh in?
Not at this time, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Ramsey?
No.
Thank you. Mr. McLean?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Board Vice Chair Clark?
Not at this time, but I think going to a formal hearing would be whatever it was that you mentioned, of course, either the hearing or the interview. Would probably be appropriate at this time.
Okay. I would like to ask if the board members are in agreement or disagreement with allowing counsel to offer a consent agreement for surrender of license based on 32-4254G and 32-4253A15. Or would they prefer simply to go to a formal hearing? So if each one of you would weigh in on your position there, either with a consent agreement or not.
This is Board Chair Clark.
Okay, just a minute. Ms. Cisneros, we may need a clarification first. Ms. Cisneros?
I'm so sorry for interrupting, Madam Chair. I appreciate it. I just wanted to clarify with the Assistant Attorney General that 4254G is actually not considered a section of unprofessional conduct. That's the board's authority to move this to formal hearing. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Then I believe the 4253A15 is what's being added
to the potential violations of law that are already included in the board's packet. So it'll be more than just the A15, but that one's being added in addition to it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Board Vice Chair Clark?
Yeah, I just wanted a clarification on the 32, 42, 53, that one that's being added. What the wording is on that one, just for to a updated clarification on my part.
Absolutely, Member Vice Chair Clark. It's engaging in sexual activity with a client, which would be under Section B. Sexual activity is defined as sexual conduct, which is also defined as direct or indirect touching, fondling, or manipulating of any part of the genitals or anus or any part of the body or by any object or causing a person to engage in that conduct.
Thank you. I'm in agreement with adding those. If we don't need to go to formal hearing, I'm in agreement to go with a consent agreement on those grounds.
Thank you. Mr. McLean?
Yes, ma'am, I agree.
You agree with offering a consent agreement? Going
yes,
to formal
ma'am.
Hearing and off. Okay, thank you. Mr. Ortega?
Yes, going to formal hearing sounds appropriate. If they wish to make a, I lost the words. Do an
voluntary
agreement, that's fine too.
Okay. And Mr. Ramsey?
I agree with all of the above.
Okay. So if you have that down, Ms. Cisneros, I wish to move that. I'll go through it again if you want.
Okay. I have it, absolutely. Okay,
and do we have a second?
Emily Clark, second.
Okay, so Ms. Cisneros, if you would read the motion and then take a roll call vote, please.
Absolutely. The motion in this case is to refer this matter to formal hearing, and that is for license revocation, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Okay. Refer the matter to formal hearing for license revocation. The board is willing to accept a settlement of voluntary surrender in lieu of proceeding to formal hearing. That is based on 32-4254G and based on potential violations of law and the factual allegations as set forth in the investigative report, and also adding unprofessional conduct under 32-4253A15.
And then Andrea, as it relates to B3,
that needs to be added.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I apologize.
No, I'm sorry. I missed that part. That was B3. Okay. And then roll call vote, Mr. Ramsey.
Yes.
Mr. Ortega.
Yes.
Mr. McLean.
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
The motion passes unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Shall we move on? Does anybody need a 5 or a 10 minute break? Or shall we move on?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, before we do, if we could just inform the parties that that case has been concluded, they will be contacted by board staff on how to proceed from here, and thank you for appearing today.
Okay. So noted. So, Ms. K.O., thank you for being here. Mr. Espuma, thank you, and board staff will contact you regarding further appearances. Okay. Does any board
chair,
member want to?
Could I have
yes.
5 minutes?
Yes, certainly. Okay. It is now 10:24, so the meeting is going to recess until 10:30. So
you.
We'll see you back here in a few minutes. Thank you. Okay. I hope everybody is back with us. It is now 10:30. 4:30 on Monday, April 26th. This is Board Chair Bowman calling the massage board back to order. Okay, I see our board members on. Thank you. Okay, let's move on. And Mr. Monahan is here. Thank you. Let's move on to case 21-133, Derek Beardsley. Okay. So, is Mr. Beardsley on the line? Please unmute yourself and say yes.
Here. Yep.
Yes, you're here. Okay, thank you. And is LM on the line? Okay. So that's fine. This is an investigative review. So, Ms. Cisneros, would you please read the complaint summary?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. The board received a complaint from LM, who underwent an in-home massage therapy session on January 20th by the respondent. LM alleged that while she was prone and in just her underwear, respondent made comments that he was taking her to Pleasure Town and to Paradise. After flipping over, LM waited to be handed the sheet back, and when it didn't happen, she asked if she needed the sheet back, and he said that she did not. He began rubbing her chest, and then proceeded to rub, squeeze, and pull on her breast and nipples. LM stated that respondent focused a lot on her nipples and told her to breathe through it as it was a chakra that needed release. LM stated she was stunned, frozen, and confused. Respondent then proceeded to massage her legs after spreading them off the sides of the table and without a drape, and his hand repeatedly brushed up against her labia. LM further alleged that respondent alternated between massaging normal areas of her body and rubbing his hand over her vagina, at one point holding it there and instructing her to breathe with him, and went under her underwear a number of times during the massage. LM stated that respondent then proceeded to tell her he was going to do some oral healing, which included sticking his ungloved fingers in her mouth, causing her to choke. LM stated that this was rough and went on for a while. She stated that respondent then rubbed her breasts, nipples, stomach, and over her genitals again before climbing on top of her to help release her hips and lower back. LM stated that throughout the massage, respondent was blowing on her, telling her to take a deep breath and blow out, especially when he would touch private areas. LM reported that her boyfriend witnessed her face up with no drape and later seemed I'm reading off of a printed copy here because my computer isn't working. My apologies.
Okay.
LM reported that her boyfriend witnessed her face up with no drape and later saw respondent straddling her and playing with her breasts. She stated that respondent seemed alarmed and quickly hopped off the table and grabbed the sheet to cover her after realizing that her boyfriend was present. The massage ended. Respondent stepped away for LM to get dressed. LM stated that respondent explained to her that he used some advanced Eastern healing techniques on her because he could sense her energy and that her body could handle it, and that these techniques are not used much in the West because people like to sexualize them. After the massage, LM's boyfriend received an email indicating that the massage had been canceled. The owner also confirmed for LM that their system showed that the massage had been canceled. This is just a brief recap of what was included in the lengthy complaint to the board, and that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Beardsley, would you like to explain the situation?
With pleasure, yes. And that's also, I've never used that word pleasure, so it's funny that she said that. Pleasure Town, I've never said that day in my life. So, in my experience, I know this neighborhood. It's it's high crime neighborhood. I don't judge on any of that stuff because I felt discriminated in my past. I know how that goes. So I treat everybody equally. I know the area. So I show up and the woman is very nice to me. And, you know, I think nothing of it. I enter the home and I've seen the inside of drug homes before personally. And this, it was a drug home. And it hurts me to just like tell somebody I can't work on them. I have to leave this environment. But I just proceeded as I would normally. And everything was dark, messy. It smelled of either a methamphetamine or some vaporized chemicals. I've smelled them before. I've been around it. And in doing the massage, everything was normal. As I pushed through her body with the deep tissue work that I always do, that's very therapeutic. I could smell alcohol coming out of her body. I could smell marijuana, and she was sniffling the whole time, just like she had been on cocaine or something. I can't say if she was on cocaine. I know for a fact that there was alcohol and marijuana. I could smell it all. And at that point, I should have ended the massage and said, I can't work on you. You're intoxicated. So I proceeded and I did my normal hour routine. And as I proceeded to leave, I could hear the boyfriend was outside the entire time. He was mowing the yard or something. So there's no reason for me to do any of that crazy sexual stuff that I just heard. And what's traumatized me about this situation is the boyfriend pulled a gun on me and escorted me off the property. I did cancel the appointment because I was just in terror and fear for my life. I thought maybe he looked at my license plate, like he could just come to my home any day. I don't know. It's an awful feeling. I couldn't sleep for weeks. And I know that what's going on in her head and how she explained all that is something deeper than the massage I gave. I don't know. I can't. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know what else more to say than that. I haven't been massaging since. I've switched careers. I'd hope to keep my license because this is a passion of mine. I love doing massage. I love helping people, but for this environment, it terrified me. And she was, as her statement said, frozen. Her body wasn't reactive. So I don't know if it was the drugs or if something was going on in her mind. I can't say. I'm not her. I don't know. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Do any board members have questions for Mr. Beardsley?
This is Kevin Ramsey, professional member. Mr. Beardsley, you said that, you know, a couple times during your statement that you felt unsafe, that you felt like maybe there was some things, you know, associated with the setting that made you feel uncomfortable. And then again, you know, with your perception of, the complainant maybe being intoxicated, why did you still decide to move forward with this session if you didn't feel comfortable or if you felt that, you know, she was intoxicated?
You know, I've been a massage therapist for 4 years now. I've never experienced this. I've never walked away from a massage. I thought that she was fine and that she was handling everything just okay. She was breathing. Her body was more loose than I'd seen in anybody that just gets a regular massage. So to answer your question, simply, I don't know why I didn't leave. Maybe it was the terror. Maybe it was the, I would just get through the massage. It's only an hour, you know. You tell yourself that in your head. It's only 60 minutes. And you look at the clock and every minute passes by.
John Ortega? Why did he pull a gun on you?
It's a drug house. I don't know. Why do people act the way that they do? I can't explain. You got to be here to tell you that.
Did you call the police?
No, I've never called the police a day in my life. I don't know how to respond to that kind of stuff. I just wanted to get away from it. I wanted to be as far away, and I don't want to be involved with police. And I don't know how to do statements, or I just don't know the process. I don't want to know the process.
Who else did you tell about this incident, sir?
I've told one friend, because I don't like having to tell people about this. It's extremely uncomfortable. I lost my job, and I'm happy that I lost my job, because I don't like going in people's houses after that point. You never know what you're going to run into. If I'm going to go to somebody's house, I want to know them first.
Then why did you make an exception in this case?
There was no exception. I had been doing in-home massage for 4 months already with this company, and it had always been good. There's red flags that pop up, you know, here or there, but people are people. I give exceptions. You know, it's like, oh, hey, you know, your house is dirty. I'm not going to judge you. But like when there's 8 or 9 or 10 red flags that pop up, I understand her frozenness, because I felt that same way. Like I was in it. Like I had to be here.
I can understand how, you know, all things said and considered would make you feel uncomfortable, but, you know, you might recognize that had you kind of followed your gut instinct, maybe we wouldn't have to be here sitting and interviewing this sort of situation right now.
So. I don't always follow that gut instinct. I've never driven down a road. I drove down that road. It was a 9 o'clock appointment. I show up 15 minutes early every day. That day I showed up 25 minutes early. I don't know why I did that. I parked across the street, and I sat there for 10 minutes. I never do that. I always go right to business, but I sat there for 10 minutes just thinking, I don't know what about, just feeling the air or something. I was like, okay, I got to do this, and then I'm going to go home. And then I stepped into it, and she was very nice. She's very, like, I can't see that coming. She was smiley and giddy and you know, hey, do you want some water? I accepted a glass of water from her. You know, I do that with some people. I don't know if she put anything in it, but I'm just, you know, I'm like an open door. Like, I have to learn more about putting up my boundaries with people.
And say, the location you went to, sir, was it a house or an apartment?
It was a house. I was in a neighborhood.
Mr. Beards, I didn't hear your response. Did you do this massage at a house or an apartment?
It was in a home, a house. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Monahan, I have a question.
Yes.
I believe we had a case with Mr. Beardsley in the last year. Is that something we can discuss at this time? Could I ask Mr. White?
You could at least ask him. You could ask Mr. Beardsley what the complaint was about, what happened, and whether he complied with the order.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Beardsley, could you answer that, please?
Yes. So the last incident was over draping and a loose draping issue, and I had to comply with doing continuing educations. And the continuing educations were supposed to be handed in, I believe, a month ago. And when this new case had come up, I'm thinking, like, I don't know how to handle this. Do I still hand it in? Am I going to have to do more continuing education on psychological profiling? I don't know. So I have just been frozen myself.
Did you complete the classes?
I completed one class and I had signed up for the other one, and then this thing happened and I didn't know how to respond. I've just been yeah.
Just not okay, right thank way. You.
Yeah, I've changed my entire life. I've cut my hair from 7 years of dreadlocks, which is a deep spiritual connection to me. I had a beard down my chest for 5 years. And after this, I feel like I have to be a new person. I have to change who I am to attract a different energy or something. I don't know.
Okay, are there other questions by board members for Mr. Beardsley?
Yes. Do you subscribe to a different type of massage? What is the theory of your massage? What is the difference in what you do versus what's accepted in the West?
I don't know about this Eastern massage stuff that she's talking about, because as far as I'm concerned, East and West are massage. It's effleurage, petrissage. I do a lot of kinesiology work. All my work is deeply therapeutic. So I'll do cupping, I'll do myofascial scraping, just myofascial hand work if they don't want the tools worked on them. I do a number of, I don't do energy work. I'm aware of any work, energy work. I'm a Reiki master. I don't practice it on people I don't know and am not comfortable with.
Thank you.
Mr. Beardsley, Vice Chair Clark here. One question. You mentioned that you got to the client's house about 25 minutes early, but sat in your car for 10 minutes and you didn't really understand why, and that you've never listened to your gut before.
I listen to my gut, ma'am.
But do you think that you could have at this point in time for this massage, if you sat there for 10 minutes, would that not have given you a little bit of a clue that maybe something was off?
Yeah, it definitely was a clue, but still, like, somewhere in my physical being, my flesh and blood, I was thinking, it's COVID. I need money. I have not been working all summer because of the pandemic. I need to, you know, feed myself. I need to have money. So I'm going to take any work that I can get. So there's a part of me that just kept pushing me from behind. And I just proceeded. I've never had something like this before. So sometimes in life, you have to fall and then stand back up to have learned a lesson. Like, I don't know what that gut instinct was. So I was like, am I just feeling like my stomach is like, did I eat something bad? Why did I get here? I don't know how I got here this early. I followed the GPS. It said it's going to take me this long to get here. And I always give myself that 15 minutes. And somehow I'm there 10 minutes early. And I'm thinking, I got to kill time. So there's just too many things that pop up in my head. Like, why? I'm not going to question myself all day. Why? I'll drive myself insane.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I wish for it to note that in looking up the address, it's a single-family home near 28th Street in Cactus, in a zip code of 85032. Anybody else have questions for Mr. Beardsley?
This is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. I didn't have a question for Mr. Beardsley. However, I did want to clarify with Mr. White that we reached out to and spoke with the complainants, the two complainants, and whether they were going to be here today or not.
Yes, I spoke with them on Saturday. Not directly. We emailed each other on Saturday, and she would just ask me what to expect, and I told her, you know, it would be a questioning period, and she said okay. And I asked her, I thought it was her husband. I said, would your husband come? She said he had to work, so but he could be here a little later, but she hasn't responded, I don't believe. I don't see her name on this, on the roster as of right now, that she uses a cell phone that's not the number that we have. It's like three numbers up there that I don't recognize.
Okay.
Okay. Again, is LM on the call, and or is the boyfriend who purchased the massage on the call? Okay.
Thank you, Angel. So
I would like to begin the discussion. So if Mr. Beardsley would mute his line, please. Thank you for being on the call with us. Are there comments, discussion on where we go from here?
John Ortega, I see no reason this shouldn't be advanced to either a formal interview or even a formal hearing. That's my feeling on it. He hasn't even satisfied the requirements from the last time he was before us. So that's my feeling on it.
Yep.
I'm in agreement with John Ortega because, number one, because he hasn't completed the CEs that was required from last time, but also because I think we need to hear more information from the complainant, more of her side. I think we need a little bit more information on this.
Vice Chair, it sounds like you are leaning towards a formal interview to get more.
Yes.
Okay.
So this is Chairman Bowman. I'm leaning more towards a formal hearing. I would definitely like to ask that at the formal hearing that we have the information for the previous case come back before us. It was less than a year ago, and that concerns me a lot. I also would like to have an opportunity to question both the complainant and the boyfriend that walked in on this. So I'm leaning towards a formal hearing.
Madam Chair, if you need, since we don't have them here today, it would be more appropriate that we move to a formal interview. This is not like the cases that we move straight to formal hearing.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Ramsey?
You guys are speaking everything that I'm thinking so far today. I'm agreeing, you know, I would like to have more info from the complainant and the witness on her side. I think at a formal interview, we can get a little bit more in-depth of the questioning on both sides. And also kind of revisit the prior complaint against the licensee in this case. Just for a review.
Okay. Mr. McClain?
Yep, I would echo the same thing as Mr. Ramsey.
Okay. So is there a motion?
Emily Clark, I'll make a motion that we take this case number 21-133, Derek Beardsley, to formal interview.
And that is based on the factual allegations and potential violations of law stated in the board's packet?
Yes.
And if you don't mind, I'd like to add one more. That's 4253A15, which is our engaging in
Seamus, you muted yourself.
Oops. I believe that's engaging in a sex.
After 8:15, you went mute.
Yeah.
After 8:15, I went mute?
Yes.
Okay, 8:15, yes. Engaging in sexual activity with a client as it relates to B2C, making sexual advances, and B, to E, massaging, touching, or applying any instrument or device by licensee to the breast of a female client without a
consent notice, agreement.
A consent form. Yes.
Yeah.
And do you agree with those additions?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Freaking fly.
Is there a second?
This is Kevin Ramsey, I'll second.
Thank you. Ms. Cisneros, can you read the motion back and then take a roll call vote, please?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. The motion is to proceed to formal interview in this matter, and that's based on potential violations of law and the factual allegations as set forth in the board's packet. We're also going to be adding unprofessional conduct violations of 4253A15 as it relates to B, 2, C, and E. Roll call vote, Mr. Ramsey.
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion passes unanimous.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to case 20. Mr. Beardsley, thank you for being here today. You will be notified by board staff as we move forward. Thank you so much. You may drop off if you would like.
Again,
we now have case 21-140, Zane Kane. Is Mr. Kane on the line today? And is SL on the line?
Madam Chair is on there.
Hello. Yes, I'm here. Zane Kane.
I believe Mr. Okay. Beardsley wanted to make had one more clarification. Mr. Beardsley, are you still on the line?
Yeah, I just wanted to know if this was a hearing or what did you say it was?
The formal interview. It's not a full evidentiary hearing.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Sorry about that.
Okay. Is SL on the line? If so, please unmute yourself and identify. Let us know you're here.
I'm making a phone call now, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. White. Okay, while we're waiting for Mr. White to complete that call, Ms. Cisneros, would you please read the complaint summary in our board packet?
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. The board received a complaint from the owner of a massage therapy spa regarding the recent firing of a male therapist relating to his conduct with draping and exposing clients. The owner, who is also a licensed massage therapist, stated that during the performance of couples massages, she witnessed the respondent display a pattern of allowing the drape to go halfway or more than halfway down someone's exposed bare nude buttocks or in undergarment. The complainant reported that respondent was terminated after a repeat of the same draping issues. There was also an allegation relating to the respondent's position that a parent should, whether or not a parent should be present in the room for a child. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Kane, would you care to make any comments?
Yeah, I've been a massage therapist for 35 years. I've always adhered to the highest standards and professionalism of my career. This is my life. I would not jeopardize it for anything, for anyone, at any time. These allegations are simply because of her confessing to me of her wrongdoing, so.
Are there any questions from board members of Mr. Kane?
Not at this time.
Mr. Kane, so the allegations seem to stem from draping policies. What is your response to the accusations that you're draping improperly?
I drape very appropriately. My always concern is for the person's well-being, safety, security, well-being. I know always people, and especially women, have issues with men maybe being assaulted or sexually assaulted or abusive boyfriends. So my main concern is to always make sure that they feel safe and secure. Like I said, I'm professional at all times. I'm not in any way trying to view buttocks or in any way. I have no desire to. My desire is to help people, make them feel better, enjoy the massage. And so draping is, of course, I'm very professional. I tuck people in, and there's always, at some point, especially, women, they will go to rub their eye or scratch their nose and not realize that maybe they move the sheet a little too much. I always readjust it as quickly as once noticed, but it's not something that is done on purpose or malicious in any way.
Thank you.
Sure thing.
John Ortega, could you explain what the issue was with massaging the child?
I was massaging a woman, a mother, who was explaining to me about her child's neck hurts, and they're always on their phone because they've been given a phone pretty much since birth. So the child always is looking down at the phone, playing games and whatnot. So the child was always complaining about, neck issues, and the mother did not know, what really to do about it. And after massaging her, she suggested this would be great for my daughter. Just a simple suggestion, it'd be great, I think, if my daughter would, get a massage. I said, yeah, of course, everybody can benefit from massage. And that was about it. I had left the room and told the receptionist that she was looking for maybe her daughter to come in. That was a nice compliment that she was willing to allow her daughter to come in and get a massage. She needed her daughter to get a massage. There should be a parent signature somewhere. And my concern was is that they don't do it's verbal interview. So when you talk to people, you ask them verbally if it's okay. And there's not actually a written intake form, which I do in my personal massage, but I was working for her and she doesn't have an intake form. She asked people verbally. So there wouldn't have even been a written permission to massage the child, but I would have liked, of course, if there was.
Thank you.
Sure.
Mr. Kane, this is Chair Bowman. About 6 months ago, you had a consent agreement that was denied. Did you complete the terms of the consent agreement?
You mean 6 years ago?
Mr. White, can you clarify for me?
It was 6 years ago.
Oh,
You came for the board 6 months ago to try to remove the consent agreement from the roster.
Okay.
I have also gotten those charges set aside, so I was also wondering if the board would, again, remove those, because those charges essentially don't really even exist.
They were set aside?
That's correct, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Because the consent agreement can't be set aside. That was agreed with him and the board at the time. It can't be removed because of that.
Okay, right.
And those were not massage-related, by the way.
Excuse me? Would you repeat that?
Those charges were not massage-related. I was actually recording the police, and the police retaliated against me for recording them. Those were not massage-related.
Oh, right. Okay. I do recall that case. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
I believe Andrea raised her hand.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry about that. I just wanted to remind the board that that specific case, that although the order's included in the board's packet, that specific case is not agendized for discussion today, as far as going any deeper into that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, are there any other questions for Mr. Kane from board members?
I do have one question from Mr. Kane.
Yes.
What is your policy when working with a child? Does the parent come in the room, or does the parent not come in the room with signed permission from them to massage the child? And what is your thoughts about that?
I believe that the parent should be in the room. I would always love, not only a parent, I like audience. I like when people watch me massage. I think that it shows the profession, how great it is, how beneficial it is. And also, if they watch how great the massage is, then they'll want one. So I'm completely for people supervising in every way.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Kane? Okay, thank you, Mr. Kane. You may mute yourself.
Okay, thank you.
I would like to open this up for discussion.
I think if we can move this forward to formal interview, we can get more in depth, maybe get the complainant on the line as well. Ask more in-depth questions on things, because there's about half the story missing.
Right.
I'm inclined to agree with Mr. Ramsey. I think we're missing kind of half the information, and I don't think we could make any kind of a decision today. So I think maybe taking it to a formal interview would be more appropriate.
Board members, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan. If we don't feel that we have enough information in this matter, then I would continue it at the investigative review, since we have lack of information.
So no, not move it forward to a formal hearing and interview.
No, not unless you believe that the allegations rise to the level of disciplinary conduct.
Okay, gotcha.
So you would suggest we have a continuance of the investigation and ask the other parties to be present?
Absolutely, especially considering the nature of the complaint. It's not a it's not a complainant as we normally see. It's an employer, and there's some question as to the relationship between the employer and the licensee. So I think that it would be more prudent for the board to discuss that in an investigative review.
Okay, so then I will move that we continue this investigation to a meeting, if not May, perhaps June, and that we ask that the complainant and individuals associated with this case be present on the call so that we can further our investigation and make a prudent decision on how to move forward. Is there a second?
Emily Clark, second.
It'll be in May.
Yeah. It'll be in May, okay.
Yes, it'll be the next board meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. White. Okay, we have a motion and a second to move this, to continue this case forward. Ms. Cisneros, will you have a roll call vote, please?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. The motion is to continue the investigative review and request that the complainant appear at the board's next meeting. Roll call vote, Mr. Ramsey?
Yes.
Mr. Ortega?
Yes.
Mr. McLean?
Yes.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
And Chair Bowman?
Yes.
The motion passes unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So let's see. We now have the executive director's report points, and for Mr. Kane. Yeah, thank you.
You need to brief Mr. Kane.
Mr. Kane. We will continue. You will receive information from board staff, and we will continue this investigation at the May meeting. So thank you for being on today. We appreciate it. You may stay on or you may drop off. Okay, let's move on to the executive director's report. Mr. Augerton?
Good morning, Madam Chair and board members. The first item I'd like to cover with you is something which you've already received a copy of, which is Executive Order 2021-2, issued earlier this year. If you can pull that document up, or if you've had a chance to review it already, the board will be in compliance with this executive order by completing the questions that are on it. I'll draw attention to a couple of those questions in just a second. And then we will bring that research and those answers to the questions back to the May board meeting. If you have questions at that time, we certainly can respond to them. Let me just quickly, if you have the document in front of you, if you don't, I'll make reference to it. I want to draw attention to the paragraphs or the items that probably are worthy of some review today. Number three, you'll see in the executive order that when an agency or entity is proposing new rule language, this executive order requires three existing rules to be eliminated. And I just want to remind the board that we're not requesting a new rule. We're processing and submitting a request to change the score numbers on the TOEFL and TOEIC exams to be in compliance with the other regulatory health boards in the state of Arizona, principally the nursing board. And we'll clarify with the governor's office if that actually is something which needs to comply with number three. Number four, the only rule that we did waive, which has expired with the governor's executive order last year, was the issue of the fee waiver for license renewal fees. The governor's executive order ended that September the 30th, and we notified our membership at that time, and we phased it out December 31st of last year. Now, the current language on the board website exempting is a waiver of the 24-hour continuing education hours, and that is a waiver that is actually not in rule, that is in statute, and we have not waived that in rule. On the last page of the executive order, number seven, this is something new which the board is going to be asked to do along with other boards and commissions, and that is to find out the veteran status of incoming initial applicants, and we'll be adding language to the renewal form for renewing applicants as well, whether they or their spouse are military veterans. And that's not something we have tracked traditionally, but we are now under a directive to do so. Item number eight, we regularly provide this information both to the governor's office and the Goldwater Institute. This is the question about how many licenses have been issued in the previous year or previous quarter by universal recognition. And as I say, we do provide that currently to the governor's office and to outside entities like the Goldwater Institute. And we'll have the latest numbers in the report in May. So unless you have any questions on that, we'll have our responses to the questions in the executive order in your next packet for review prior to the May meeting. And then if you'd like to have any questions or go through any of the text that the staff puts together, we can do that in May. Madam Chair, board members, the next item on the calendar is, I'm just reminding you, you don't necessarily have to take action today, but we left item B open at a previous meeting. And at some point we're being asked by the Federation if we would designate an Arizona delegate to the fall annual meeting, which will either be virtual or actually in Charlotte, North Carolina, depending on the status of the COVID pandemic in the fall. And that's something that I just bring before you today to remind you.
Thank you.
And that if you have nothing on that, the last item I have for you, I have Jessica Thomas with us on the phone. This is pending your decision at the last board meeting to move ahead with the proposed rule to be submitted first again to the governor's office and then on to the Arizona Secretary of State for public comment, and then back to the governor's office, and then to the governor's regulatory review commission, GERC. The language has been given to you in a draft document, which is in your packet today. And I'll remind you that the purpose of the rule is to change the current scores on TOEFL and TOEIC. This is in response to a previous item we had on the board agenda where Mr. Paul Avalar from the Institute for Justice appeared and testified on this particular issue. So this is a proposed change in the current board rules if we receive the support from the governor's office to go to the governor's regulatory review commission for a public hearing and public discussion. And then the board has currently in statute the authority for the MBLEX exam, which is used for out-of-state applicants. It's not currently being used for in-state applicants. This rule would draw on the current statutory authority to make that uniform for all applicants. And Arizona is one of two states left in the country that is not using the MBLEX certification across the board. And Jessica, can you indicate to the chair that you're present on this conversation?
Good morning, this is Jessica Thomas. Yes, I am here and I would be happy to answer any questions you have on this particular rulemaking or the rulemaking process in general.
Does any board member have a question for Ms. Thomas?
I believe Mr. Ogerton covered it already, but just to clarify, this would not constitute a new rule, right? This is being, as is amending a current rule.
Madam Chair, Board Member Ramsey, it's going to depend on the interpretation of the governor's office, because adjusting the score numbers within the TOEFL and TOEIC rule language could be interpreted as an amendment and not actually proposing new rule language. However, it could also be interpreted that any change in existing rule would implement the governor's executive order that the board will have to identify three rules for elimination. And I won't know the response to that until we send the language today to the governor's office, whether this change in TOEFL and TOEIC current rule language triggers the directive that we eliminate three existing rules in addition to this particular change.
I thought the prior verbiage of it stated that it was an elimination of two rules if there was an addition. Was this just a change from the 2021 or?
Board Member, Madam Chair, Board Member Ramsey, you have a good memory. Actually, last year's executive order, as you're recalling, was the elimination of two rules, and the executive order just issued for this calendar year, it's now up to three rules. So the directive is if you have a need to propose a new rule for your board or commission, basically you can once you've identified three pieces of language that you're willing to eliminate.
Thank you very much.
Are there any other questions for Ms. Thomas or Executive Director Ogerton? Ms. Thomas, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it and also appreciate that you're going to walk us through this process very confidently. So thank you.
My pleasure.
Okay. Moving on to summary of current events. By law, the summary of current events is limited to summarizing recent occurrences. The board cannot propose, discuss, deliberate, or take legal action on any matter in the summary unless a specific matter is properly noticed for legal action. So I don't believe we have anything coming up or having had come up. I have nothing on my list. So I think we'll step on to number 8, discussion and possible action items for future massage board agendas. I would like to see us have perhaps a conversation or maybe some information on, we have LMT owners and managers of businesses where violations may occur, and there is a responsibility for them to notify us of that. And I just think that it would be 32-4256 to report action. I would like to have a conversation on that so that it is in our minutes, but also perhaps LMTs would become more knowledgeable about our responsibility in protecting our profession. Okay, the next scheduled Arizona Massage Board meeting is Monday, May 24th, 2021 at 9 o'clock to be a video conference call. That is not exactly set in stone because that's the week prior to a Monday off holiday. It may be changed to the preceding Friday, which I believe is May 21st. So that's a little bit iffy right now, but we'll get it figured out and let board members and staff know. And
Chair Bowman, Memorial Day falls on the 31st this year.
Right, I realize that, and this is a week prior.
Okay.
I do understand that, right.
Okay.
So I realize it's not on Memorial Day.
Right.
Okay, so we will be communicating about that and posting any change on the website. Okay, call to public. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.01H, the board may make an open call to the public during a public meeting subject to reasonable time, generally 3 minutes, place, and manner restrictions to allow individuals to address the public body on any issue within the jurisdiction of the public body. However, members of the board are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. The board, however, may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. Are there any call to public? Mr. Wilcox, I think you're the one that usually gets these. Okay, would you care to weigh in?
This is actually not for one person. This is for a couple people. Thank you guys for using the new form. And I did get your CE requests, which will be put into your packet and in your files. So I just want to let everybody know that if you attended the board meeting, go out to our website under board meetings. You'll see today's board meeting, and at the bottom under the notice and public area, there's a link. You just click and go ahead and fill that out, and you'll get 3 live hour credits for attending. That's all.
Okay. So there are not any call to public, but rather simply that clarification on CEs.
Madam Chair, there is an individual that raised their hand. Their initials are LH.
Okay, so LH, if you would unmute yourself, you have 3 minutes for a call to public.
Hi, this is Lorena Haynes. I'm the Government Relations Director for the Federation of State Massage Therapy Boards. I would just like to say thank you for considering the MBLEX, making that consistent across all of your regulatory requirements. Also, in terms of the delegate, yeah, you could. There's time before you need to make a decision about that. And we'll be informing you if the annual meeting ends up being virtual. But at this point, it's considered to be a face-to-face meeting. So if anybody has any questions about that, please let me know.
Could you please repeat your name for me one more time for the record, please?
My name is Lorena Haynes.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Haynes. We appreciate that. And it's nice to know that the annual meeting will probably be face-to-face. That's a wonderful way for our delegate to get to interact with people all over our country. So that's awesome. Mr. McLean.
Yes, Madam Chairman. I'm not sure if this is the right spot to bring this up, but the public call to order, are we able to get that moved to the beginning of our meeting instead of the end? In part because if there is somebody that would like to make a statement, they're kind of stuck on our schedule waiting 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 hours before they get that opportunity. And I would hate for them to miss that if they have to go through all of our cases first.
Right. Thank you. Ms. Cisneros, would you like to answer that, please?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the board, unfortunately, this was not agendized as a bigger discussion topic. Because the call to public is not time specific, the chair does have the discretion to call it at any point during the meeting. During one of our staff meetings not too long ago, I had actually proposed a change so that there were two separate ones. So one was specific to cases on the agenda and one was more general. If the board, I just wanted to offer, if the board was open to considering changing it, we would need to place it on a future agenda to discuss it further.
Yeah, I think the most appropriate thing to do right now is to put it on the next meeting's agenda to discuss.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Cisneros, thank you, Mr. Monahan, and thank you, Mr. McLean. Okay, since there is no further business, is there a motion to adjourn?
Board Chair, you can just adjourn it if you'd like. You actually don't need to make a motion.
Okay, it is now 11:28 a.m. on Monday, April 26, 2021. The meeting is now adjourned.